if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen,
country, and video games. BRB UK.
Worse teeth,
better accents.
Welcome to episode 365 of the Big Red Barrel UK podcast. I am Goldman. Hi.
Hi.
And it's a very special episode because, well, one, there's no Dan. That's not why it's special.
No, I mean, that doesn't make it special.
It happens quite a lot, actually. Thinking back through our history, we probably got Dan for about 60% of the podcast. But no, Dan is off celebrating his 70th birthday this week. So be sure to say happy birthday to Dan at Captain Average on that there Twitter or on the Big Red Barrel Discord if
He's
you fancy.
He's literally getting too old for this.
He's getting too old for this pod. It is EGX week, and that's what makes it so special. And we are, in fact, for the first time in this show, live as we're recording, we're recording this show in the Excel Centre in London.
Yeah.
Which is something we've not done before.
No.
Interesting. So before we get into it and the nitty gritty and that, with me, as always, most time, more times than Dan, it's Tim.
Hello.
And joining us this week, all the way from the Geek Speak podcast, Mr. Diarmaid.
Hello there.
Oh, I keep calling you Mr. Diarmaid. It doesn't make sense.
I'm okay with the title.
I've learned that.
Okay.
I've clearly learned that from Tim.
I
called Rick Mr. Rick last week. I was like, that's not his name.
It's a sign of respect without necessarily giving away your surname to the
Rick.
Internet. But anyway.
Mr. Anderson.
Also, we should point out that normally, in inverted commas, normally when we do an EGX show, we often have a few guests on. For various reasons, we haven't done that.
We left it way too late.
That'll be one of the main reasons.
Crap load of games that we need to talk about.
Yeah. So let's get on with that, shall we?
Yeah, let's go for that big old elephant in the room, and I'm not talking about me putting on weight. Let's talk about one of the big headlines of the show.
Okay.
What do you want to do? You want to do Avengers or you want to do Final Fantasy?
Oh, I don't mind. I played Avengers first, so let's do Avengers first.
Okay, we played Marvel's Avengers, which... Mm-hmm. When I came on the first day, the queue was at 2 hours. And then it went down to an hour and a half. And I went, you know what? I'm going to wait. I'm going to monitor it. It's first day. I'm going to see if it goes down to an hour. It got bigger.
Yeah.
It got bigger. And every day I've tried to get in early to try and jump in that queue early. And in the end, I just went, you know what? Stuff it. 2 hour wait. I'm waiting.
Yeah.
The result is a 25 minute demo. And I didn't fully wait 2 hours because of cheekiness. But I waited just over an hour.
I waited just over an hour too.
I think it was worth the wait.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed the demo. It's humorous now because we see people queuing up at 3 in the afternoon and the queue is estimated at 4 or 5 hours.
And you're like,
you haven't got time to play this game.
Yeah.
It's going to shut before you get to play it.
As I said, queued for about an hour. That was about the maximum I'd like to queue for anything really. The good part of that was that 20 minutes or so was like a introductory video thing that they showed you that I hadn't actually seen before. I don't know if that's available online generally, but I hadn't seen the footage and stuff.
All the trailers that were shown were trailers that have been seen before.
Okay.
The Kamala Khan one, the intro one about Avengers Day and stuff. And then even the fact the demo we played was the Gamescom demo, I think.
Okay, yeah, I think so.
So and even that, the full gameplay is uploaded to YouTube, so you can see exactly what we played.
I'd seen that gameplay, but as I've spoken to a few people on Twitter already, like, I was actually glad to get the opportunity to play the gameplay portion of that because it conveyed a lot more to me than just watching it, which is kind of obvious, but at the same time, like, it was much more enjoyable to play through, but also it was much more easy to understand how that's going to play out throughout the game, having just played that portion of it type thing, right?
So for those that don't know, premise of Marvel's Avengers from Square Enix, this is the idea of the Avengers are opening the West Coast Avengers headquarters, and the city have decided to create Avengers Day to celebrate that they're there and celebrate the heroes and all the goodness and stuff. During this time, a big attack happens, and the Avengers assemble, they go off and fight, and it turns out this attack's a diversion and a helicarrier gets taken down and the city gets bombed and all big badness happens. Meanwhile, during all of this, Kamala Khan, a student who's there for Avengers Day to meet her heroes, ends up getting exposed to a gas which gives her bigify powers. The Terrigen Mist.
The Terrigen Mist.
So she gets Imbigan powers and becomes the new Ms. Marvel, but we haven't got to that part yet.
What I was going to say was, I haven't played the demo. However, I do know that they're going for a Destiny-esque multiplayer experience.
Yeah, which none of that...
That doesn't really fit into this demo, does it?
No, none of that was conveyed in the demo. What this demo was... It was a quick, small sections for you to try out each character in. So Thor, Hulk, Black Widow, Captain America, Iron Man. Mm-hmm. And after each or all that, those are done, the demo is essentially over. What each of those play like is they all have a kind of, you know, they have a close combat fighty style. Mm-hmm. They have some kind of projectile style, whether that's shooting guns as Black Widow, throwing Cap Shield, throwing Mjolnir as Thor, or Hulk picking someone up and throwing them at someone else. They all have some form of that.
And I don't know if you felt this as well, but the throwing of Mjolnir really reminded me of God of War.
That's because the guy
in the
who,
very best of ways, and yeah, exactly.
The guy who worked on that mechanic worked on Mjolnir.
Yeah,
so
and
that works.
You can see that, but it just works perfectly for the weapon. Like
it's very fun.
It's very good.
But because of that, the demo, it feels more like a kind of God of War type hack and slash game, which is basically what I want.
Yeah.
That game played exactly what I want. We didn't see any of the kind of multiplayer idea that had been shown in video. We haven't seen any of this upgrade style. They alluded to it a bit in the video they showed us afterwards, yeah, which again is online.
I hadn't seen that online before, but I liked the fact that kind of detailed a bit more of how the game's going to open out and stuff. Like the fact that you are on an abandoned helicarrier, you know, after the sort of the events that you saw in the opening scenes. Yeah, they're kind of going elsewhere to kind of fight this in a bit more underground kind of thing, but it's a bit more like that's why you've lost access to all your resources and all this type of stuff, but then you're building up and it showed the kind of upgrades that you can get as you go through the game and stuff like that, and I was like, oh okay, oh well, this is,
and all very Destiny color-coded as well.
Yeah, but I don't know, like to me it showed that okay, this game isn't the small scale thing that it could have been from what we've seen of the demo so far. They are really going, you know, the extra mile with the upgrade system and stuff like that. In terms, not necessarily the extra mile, but it's living up to what it should be for that style of game and for what they'll have in it, basically. So
you should be hearing a change in Diarmaid's voice now. It's that seamless editing, but Diarmaid's mic wasn't getting power for some reason.
My voice carries. My voice. Yeah. It's fine. We'll be fine.
Should be better now. All the stuff that shows the upgrade system and stuff, as I said, we didn't see that. Just like Diarmaid said, that will affect my purchase decision. I want to see how that works first. But, you know, if it does get some ropey launch and bad servers and all these kind of problems, all I know is I played a really good demo.
Well, see, for me, the demo made me confident in it doesn't matter what happens with the multiplayer stuff. Like, I'm on board for the single thing as long as they fix Thor's beard, which... Yeah. Looked like dancing ants in a rainstorm type thing. Like it looked like his beard was alive. It looked really
it
weird
is alive.
To me.
The Odin son has
life. No, that's not part of the myth.
Odin son has a beard made of lice. Everyone knows this. Lice and maggot.
Yeah, like that just really creeped me out. Something that could be easily fixed in the final game, but whatever they did for the like the effect on that it just looked
wrong. Effects gone extreme.
Yeah,
gone extremely badly, I think, is the problem. But yeah, as I said, overall that convinced me, like, yeah, I'm gonna have fun with this game. I can definitely pick this game up day one and be good with it. So,
and interestingly, this was the headline game this year. This has taken, like, this is the Virgin sponsored game. This has taken Destiny's space, which has been Destiny's space for about 4 or 5 years.
Tell Dan.
Yeah, there's no Destiny at all. Very strange. Very odd to see that. Okay, so we're going to talk Final Fantasy VII. Have we all played Final Fantasy VII Remake?
We have.
Yes.
Have we all played Final Fantasy VII the original?
Yes.
Good. Okay, so we're all on the same page. I've played it twice now.
Okay.
I managed to get myself in for two sessions. First one was kind of cut short, so the second one I went in.
Oh, right. Okay.
Had a much more fun time. It's from, if you know Final Fantasy VII, it's from the early Marco reactor.
Mako?
Sorry, I used to say...
I think Mako.
I used to say Marco, and then I got correct.
They said Mako in that demo.
No, they said Marco. Polo.
Polo.
Barrett said, the Marco is so strong down here, I can practically taste it.
I thought he said Mako in my demo.
I've had these pronunciations in my head, seeing as I play the original. So I say Mako.
Let's call the whole thing off.
Yes, okay. It's just sort of...
So what do we want? We want Mako or Marco? Mako?
Well, Chocobo.
Okay, right, we'll go with Mako. Mako Reactor is where Avalanche are going to the first Mako Reactor. You're introduced to Cloud and all that stuff. We don't see the first opening with the train coming and all that. It's literally they go to the Mako Reactor. You have to make your way down some platforms, fight some bad guys on the way, and then you're met up with the Scorpion robot, I guess.
Tank thing, yeah, whatever it was.
The big security thing that... Don't attack while its tail's up.
No, don't get hit by that laser tail. But yeah, like, is it just me? Like, it's from a part of the game I don't remember that well. I don't know how...
Oh, I do.
I don't know exactly how well it compares to the original. I remember the bit on the train, and I remember coming out, but I don't remember the bit that we're currently...
I remember that bit the game, but like, it's one of those bits that you only kind of play once, and it is a tutorial, so you're just kind of... You're concentrating on picking up how you do different things rather than... But this is very similar to that in terms of it showing you how to play the game or whatever. But yeah, like I don't remember Jesse being that far into the reactor with us.
She waits. Well, no, that is right. The screen before they climb down ladders and she waits there. And then when you come out, her foot's stuck in a grate and you can free her or just run off. And then she'll go, hey, come back and free my foot.
But she's pretty this time, so I will stay and pick her up. I'm joking.
Oh, it's not.
I'm joking.
It's weird seeing them not all weird, blocky, polygonal characters because... Yeah.
I don't know about you. Like, there was a bit in the scene where I was like, Cloud's top looks like really like that's really nice. And like, I have never thought about how weird it is that he has a knitted, no sleeve polo jumper.
Yep.
Like, that's a bit weird. Yeah. Like, it's a bit odd.
Game looks incredible. It looks like like the Advent Children movie, but that kind of style. I did find, so I was panning the camera around as Cloud's climbing down a ladder and you can see everything's kind of fuzzy, weird lighting effect or some kind of effect there, but it made a lot of detail blurry. Mm. So I don't know, maybe that'll be a PlayStation 5 fixture in the future.
It could be that. It could also just be the fact that the setting for that, like that entire room is over this sort of what's meant to be, I think, equivalent of like a lava or something.
Yeah, it's like
so
heat haze,
but
okay.
Mako haze.
All right, I didn't even consider that. That is a very decent.
Because I was doing similar. I was kind of looking around, and when you go up to something quite close, the detail
really
is fantastic.
Good, yeah,
but any bit of distance then, and it did start to get fuzzy. But I thought that was atmosphere rock.
We'd have to see other scenes in the game to see how that plays out. Possibly.
Yeah. One thing I was dubious about going in was the battle system. Mm-hmm. It's not turn-based battle system, although there will be a mode for turn-based. Yeah, and I haven't been sure about that, but then the minute I started playing, I went, oh, I like this.
Yeah, literally. Oh, I like this. It took me about 2 minutes to go, yeah, no, I'm in.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, fine.
I can quite happily play a game like this.
Well, because the fact that you can still like bring up the command menu to pause a bit and then choose your abilities, spells, or limits.
Limit breaks and stuff.
And like that made it seem similar enough to the other game, but then... Yeah. It seems more active when you're waiting for those things to build up. You're actually just pressing the button to actually do the attack type thing.
One thing I really liked, because your limit break that's equipped for Cloud is the cross slash, which is the second or third limit break you get. So originally you meant to have the braver. But if you look in the abilities, you can do the braver and the cross slash.
You just do that whenever you want to. Yeah,
so you're doing the limit break moves, but without all the cool effects and powers and stuff. And I quite like that. Yeah. That's a really good idea.
Yeah, I really like it. And I also like that the combat, despite giving you the ability to be quite active, kind of in between the bigger kind of abilities, that never feels overpowered. Against the smaller enemies, you could probably take out an enemy just using hammering the square if you want to. But when we eventually do get to the boss fight, it is all about, you go in, you slash just to build up your bars, and then you have to try and trigger your abilities at the right time.
Yeah.
So this boss fight wasn't just a simple case of keep hammering it and then don't attack it when the tail is up. This is kind of, you're trying to build up a stagger meter, which eventually breaks him, knocks him down, and that's when he is susceptible to even more damage, and that's when you wail on him and all of your abilities you want charged up so that you can just pummel him.
And there seems to be like a whole thing about placement as well. So you have this third person view to play around with. You can run around the back and start attacking there and stay away from gunfire and things. But also there's a point where the Scorpion robot has a force field generating around him.
Yeah.
And you have to find the weak point to then get rid of that. And then you can go back to attacking. And they do the whole tail laser thing, but it's not attack when the tail laser's up, but don't attack when the tail laser's up. It's like, get behind some rubble, hide. You're going to get shot with a laser.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think you finished the battle, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I was close, but didn't quite finish by the time the demo was up. But yeah, like I said, I really enjoyed the combat. And having been fearful going in about, you know, me not taking to it, going to the turn-based thing, that fear has been put to bed entirely, yeah. Basically.
Getting hold... I mean, I was excited when they announced it, but dubious. I was less excited when I saw gameplay. Mm-hmm. Now playing the game, I'm sold. Yeah, I'm back on board.
For me, I think the one thing that I need them to confirm before, similar to Marvel Avengers, I need something confirmed before I buy it. This one is, I need to know how many parts there are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It has to, they have to make a decision on that.
84 parts.
Even if they tell me there are going to be 5 parts or more than likely it's going to be 3.
People want 3 because there was 3 discs.
Yeah. Yes.
Unless you had it on PC.
Yes.
Do you think they'll just sell the gold saucer disc completely separately?
Yeah.
Just be your own disc.
Free to play a gold saucer.
That'll be where the microtransactions are hiding.
All right.
2K are jumping in for that one.
One very small criticism, and probably the only thing I could really criticize it for.
Barrett's voice.
What? See, Barrett's weird for me as well, because I renamed all the characters in the game and I'm not used to them not being swear words anymore.
But
the actual criticism was, any game where you're going down really long ladders that doesn't give you the ability to traverse that ladder quicker annoys me.
I thought this until I looked to the left of me and saw someone sliding down the ladder.
Okay,
how do you do this?
Okay, I could not find the button to do that.
I was just like, hey, how do you do that? And he goes, X. I went, oh,
okay. I swear I tried all the buttons and it didn't work. But anyway, I just didn't hold on to it longer.
That was one of my complaints
fine.
As well.
Criticism removed. That's fine then.
Just Tim twatting the mic then?
Yep.
Mine's Barrett's voice. Since they started voicing Barrett in the animated movie and stuff, I've always hated it. Because like Barrett is clearly meant to be some form of Mr. T. Like that's where they've got the inspiration from. And he just sounds like a white guy doing a black guy voice. He really does. And it's, I don't get along with that voice at all.
Right, I'm going to suggest a next game to talk about.
Go on then.
Even though I don't think either of you have necessarily seen it.
Okay.
Just because it's one of the other headline things here, even though it wasn't playable.
Go on then.
Cyberpunk 2077.
I was in the room with you Wally.
Oh, I forgot. You actually came along to that, didn't you? Yes.
I was not, so don't worry.
You don't? Okay, you didn't get to see it.
We watched the presentation. Yeah. It was breathtaking.
Yeah, that's how you went.
I really enjoyed it.
I understood that reference.
Yes. Yeah. Well, basically, it kind of played through part of the game where you are helping out interacting with one of the gangs, the Voodoo Boys, basically, who are some of the best hackers in the city.
Points off for not calling them the Voodoo people, because that would have incited some Prodigy in my head at the time. They could have put that in the soundtrack and be like, this is amazing.
But yeah, so you're kind of introduced to the gang member, contact with the Voodoo Boys, and then kind of he introduces you as to what he wants you to do for him in return for the thing that you want from him, basically. And graphically, and just going with that side of things, it was a bit weird for me because I found like some of the videos we'd seen before is like, oh my word, they are never going to recreate that in a video game.
No.
And some of the stuff I was like, oh my word, they really did recreate that in a video game. And other bits I was a bit more like, oh, that more looks more like a video game now kind of thing. I mean, so I was a bit torn on that. Like, it's still graphically impressive.
Yes.
Like, don't get me wrong.
Very much so.
There's a few things like, it does like on-the-fly translation of any sort of
You can
speech around you.
You upgrade your chip, whatever chip in your head to go, right, translate in subtitles in your kind of whatever the display is in your eye, and it will basically give subtitles to the person talking, but it kind of jumbles around first and then unscrambles and then comes up with English.
I like that effect. We've seen that
works.
In movies and stuff.
Seen it done.
I know there was something a bit funny about that overall. I
wonder, is that something that you can upgrade?
Make it
you
faster.
Get that chip and it starts jumbling and then it kind of slows you down a little bit, but then later on you kind of upgrade that chip and it just pings it up straight away.
I think it's always there to kind of remind you that it is being translated, even though you're getting the English translation sort of thing. But I don't know, like very small potatoes on that one. But generally, like, the actual gameplay and stuff, what they showed was two different character builds playing through a similar section of the game.
Netrunner and a...
Yeah, Netrunner and a strong solo, as strong they refer solo. To it. And I'm not entirely sure what that terminology... Like, why was it a solo?
It's true.
Like, can solo on your own? I don't
Jedi.
Know.
All of it.
It's all true. But yeah, like, generally, though, like, the gameplay they showed and stuff, it was just like, okay, you really can play this the way you want to play it. Like, the Netrunner was more sneaky hacking stuff, obviously. But it shows you, like, how that worked and how you can get round things and do stuff. And then the solo person, like, there was a bit where there's the turret, for instance. You can hack the turret and it will shoot your opponents.
Yeah.
Or as the solo,
you can rip off the turret.
You can just
and
go
use
and rip
it.
The turret off its thing and use it as a big gun to mow everyone down.
I like that. There's that kind of hacker route, which is okay. Hack the door opens. Yeah. As a strong solo, it's rip door open.
Yeah, rip
we
door
brute
open.
Force it, and it looked cool. And it was it wasn't like the
really
same
animation
each time. Like one door will be more harder, and it's like little like robotic arms, and it's opening up, and little pistons are firing off to help. Mm-hmm. Like kind of looks like Iron Man when he's trying to lift Mjolnir in that comedy bit.
Yes.
Yeah.
And but just I don't know, it was the variant in the two styles of gameplay that they showed, and obviously there's going to be other variations to that, and it's just like, okay, that's something I want to mess around with and have a go, and both of them looked fun, like some of them let you go a bit more sort of, you know, crazy with the melee attacks and stuff like that with the solo stuff, but just I was just like, okay, I'm looking forward to designing my character and picking the right things for what I want to do and the playstyle I want to go with.
I'd like to find out at some point, is it possible to sort of either meld or to easily switch? So if you're starting to go down that kind of the hacker route, and then kind of you're playing through the game and you're enjoying it, but you're like, oh, this mission I could really go with being a big hulking brute that just blows them up. Is it possible to sort of change your upgrades?
Yeah, because they showed the changes in the demo, but apparently that's there for the demo purposes.
Demo purposes, and I get the impression that you will be a bit more rigidly stuck with the decisions you've made. But say, for instance, you liked the melee approach and the hacking approach, you could upgrade those two to go down that path and get those two options as you go, basically. So I kind of like that idea, basically, and it would be nice if you could fix things about
if there's a bit of versatility, because I've played a number of games where you choose a class and then that's sort of it. So we've talked about Destiny not being here. Destiny's like that. You pick a class. Now, it doesn't make as much of a difference in Destiny. It holds you back from maybe using a few of the...
Plus you use multiplayer to kind of balance that out
exactly.
Anyway.
Whereas a game that shall not be named, Anthem, allows you to pick various different kind of rigs that you can get into, which really does allow you to change up the gameplay on the fly. Like for each mission, you can pick a different one. So I would like if they had that versatility, but at the same time, I'd understand why they'd want you to kind of build your character in one particular way as well.
The other thing they mentioned, which scared me a bit, but also like was a nice challenge, you can go through the whole game without killing anyone as well, basically. And that scared me because of like Deus Ex took me about twice as long to not finish that game because I was trying to do that all the way through, basically.
Is this the one
and
where
Mirror's Edge as well?
Was this the one where you could sneaky through and not kill anyone?
Yes.
But then the bosses were made by a different company that didn't have that in mind.
So
it caused
a
lot
that
of
was
problems.
A bit, but yeah, it'd be really interesting to see how you get through the boss fights in this game and those moments without
killing
anyone.
Just do a cheat like
you hack them.
The Metal Gear games, if you remember when they gave you the option to go through without killing people, they gave you two bars, the life bar and your consciousness bar or something. And you could just shoot them with like tranquilizer guns instead.
So you're still shooting them.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, basically the way they showed it off in the demo is to defeat the boss, you get him to a point where he is subdued but not dead, basically, kind of thing. And then he's on the ground and you can go up to him and just finish him off by shooting him in the head, or you can walk away.
I'm going to blow your mind, Tim.
I think that's how they're going to do it, basically.
You said Heath about three times. It was a woman.
Was it?
Yeah.
I don't remember
very
that.
Big, hulking, muscular woman.
Oh, you're quite right. Yeah, I forgot that was a thing.
Anyway, it was a good demo, and it was one of those things, like Tim said, like it. How do you make this a video game? What you're showing looks amazing, but then when they show the gameplay sections off, it's like, okay, now I see it. But then when it's driving past like all the city that's all broken up, so it's like, I don't believe it. You've gone out and destroyed a city and recorded that footage. I don't understand. My brain can't comprehend how you did that.
And I like the setup of the city and everything they explained. The city that we're in, it was a kind of, it was supposed to be a kind of playground for the rich.
Yeah.
But then there was a kind of global crisis and
the global economy.
Global economy kind of collapsed and there was no money to it. And so all the investors pulled out. And so it's become this kind of
Haitian
overrun shanty town where all this Haitian population has moved in and kind of taken over. And yeah, it's. But anyway, like it's
good.
Just an interesting looks kind great. Of thing and looks great. And I'm really looking forward to it. So yeah.
Can't wait.
It's good.
I think if I'm getting that, I'm waiting until the next gen, because there's definitely going to be a version on next gen.
See, that was the one game that I was thinking of actually buying on my Google Stadia to kind of really test out the Google Stadia, but I'm no longer getting Google Stadia, so now I need to work out where I'm going to get it.
Running through the kind of main floor stuff, I had a try on NBA 2K20, which I don't want to go too much into. It's already out, but I tried the Switch version because that interests me, and I don't play the NBA 2K games at all. I never have. Did it with a mate and came to the conclusion that these are the funniest games in the world if neither of you know how to play them. And it was hilarity. And we had like moments for the good first 3 minutes of the game, we were just passing the ball and didn't know how to shoot. And then we looked it up in the menu, like, right, now we're basketballing. And it actually turned out to be a really fun game in that sense. It's already out.
I was going to say, you played this with Andrew, though, and I discussed this with him. I bailed on basketball games a few years ago because they got to a point where they are now so complicated that they're not the fun pick-up-and-play games that I liked as years ago, basically.
Not at all.
It's all like, oh, well, that was some sort of technical foul that I don't understand, so
that's why you need
to
play
to the three-point line again, and you can get some 3 points.
But that's why you need to play with someone with the same technical ability as yourself, and that's why it becomes amusing. But the funny thing is, like, it felt like we were finishing, and it was like, half-time, I was like, can we stop, please? I've had enough of this game. But I just wanted to quickly mention that one out.
Okay, I was going to say the first game that you and I played when I eventually made it here on the Friday.
Oh, God. Mario and Sonic.
Before that.
What did we play before that?
We played Granblue Fantasy Versus.
Ah, yes.
First thing we do. We were like, fighting game.
You can fight an actual child. A literal child.
Literally, Coleman picked a child character and I had to, like, I was forced to beat up a child.
Was there a gun to your head? Did they?
Well, I was giving description.
I mean, I wanted to win. That's all I'm going to say.
There was what, 8 characters to pick from? Yeah. And I was scrolling
Coleman's
through.
Like,
and
oh,
I was,
child.
Each one, I'd be like, a beautiful woman, and it's a guy. And I'd go, a beautiful woman with short hair, and it's another guy. You know, that kind of thing. And then it just one of them is a little girl and it went, a literal child. It's one of those anime 2D fighters that I like. You know, they look really nice. They have a lot of technical skill to them to really get into those games. I saw people that were basically on them all day to master it.
How many different life bars do you have to bring down to actually defeat the
just the one, I think.
Just the one, that's fine. That was uncomplicated.
I couldn't quite get my head around what I was doing. They didn't really leave out any, you know, usually in a demo they put down a layout of things to do.
The character
stuff.
That I beat your child up with to start with was more of a kind of, straight up Street Fighter with like seemingly fireballs, dragon punch type moves.
Right.
So, And seemingly very much a take on the Ryu and Ken type thing. So I was like, oh, okay, I'm at home here. That's fine. I can beat this child up. Not entirely, but you get my joke.
That's okay. I can beat this child up.
but generally, and most of the other characters I picked while we were playing fit into a similar vein and similar pattern that I was like happy to discover some moves and carry on. I think I got on with this more than you did, possibly.
Yeah, but you're a weird Rain Man with fighting games. You know, you're like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. Oh, look at that. I suddenly memorized every flipping move in the game.
I think we've learned over the years that, like, I think we have a better time with fighting games when you've practiced them and I haven't.
Oh, yeah. Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. but generally, yeah, like I from my early impressions of picking up and playing that, I was like, oh, this is something I could actually play through and play a bit more of. And it seems very much in the BlazBlue type thing and that type of, you
That's
know.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah, like anime-based, like, almost cel-shaded graphics, but a Street Fighter clone, for want of a slightly better description with more words in it, basically. But I think that was playable and enjoyable, and I quite like that.
Yeah. No Straight Roads, that's there again this year. It was at Rezzed. It's basically... It isn't exactly the same demo, but it's the same demo. It's not the same build they showed off at Rezzed, but it is exactly the same demo as we played at Rezzed. Interesting premise. It's a world where music now belongs to corporations, and there are two people trying to put a stop to that. One is a guitarist, one is a drummer. You team up together in a kind of third person, collect notes, and then fire them at enemies.
I like the art style.
Yes.
And I like the soundtrack.
Yes.
I just wish the gameplay was somehow tied into either of those.
I'm hoping that there's a lot of hit thing, get ammo, shoot ammo, and then hit thing and repeat until finish. I'm hoping we get a different demo down the line to this, see something else to this.
I get the impression this is a boss rush game, which means that you would hope every boss is going to be slightly different. This particular one was exactly what you're talking about. But at the end of the demo, they do have this sort of brief trailer that kind of shows you later kind of parts of the game. And it does at least give the impression that the different bosses really do require different techniques to beat them, in which case that might help.
Okay.
But I am kind of disappointed that the music kind of theme is kind of left to the story and not really fully incorporated into the gameplay. I was kind of hoping that there would be some sort of rhythm-based thing there, but there isn't really.
Colm and I did play a rhythm-based game that I think you liked, and I wasn't as good as you with the game, but I did like
it. I love Aero. I've given Aero a lot of airtime on this podcast.
Especially the mint one.
The mint chocolate is my favorite.
But yeah, no, but this was a sequel to a game that you played before. Yeah, so this was Aero 2.
So this is Aero 2.
Mint
and
Boogaloo.
The idea of Aero is you have a spaceship, and it's a rhythm-based game where you have to follow like a laser-looking line.
It's like a guideline.
Yeah,
type
a guideline that you follow, and that, you know, the longer you play that, the more, well, the music keeps playing, and you get a score from, you know, the more the score builds up. If you don't follow the line, like a little bar will fill up, and if it gets too hot, then you just explode.
Yeah.
And you do that all with the right stick. With the left analog stick, you have a cursor that you can use to aim over enemies, and then you fire at them. And if you do it in time, you get more points, and it will kill them quicker, that kind of stuff. Yeah. For the sequel, they've changed up the weapon mechanics and added in two-player, which is a brilliant idea. And they used some cool subwoofer things on the back of the chairs that felt really nice on my back.
Yeah, nice massage, thanks.
I don't think that comes with the game, but I actually want to go get one of those now.
Yeah, they're quite cool.
Yeah, the two-player element is brilliant. This was a co-op type thing we saw, but the full release game, I believe they're working on more of a versus type mode as well, so a score attack type thing. I mean, you could compare scores. Tim had about 60,000. I had about 470,000. Okay.
I remember me being 34% and you being 81%.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was about it.
But the other change is the weaponing as well. One, instead of just hovering over enemies and then firing when ready, you have more of a machine gun type attack.
Yep.
With one trigger, and then with
rocket
the
type attack with the other. No?
Yeah, and with the other, it's the original, the same thing, but instead of hovering and it automatically tags enemies, you hold down the left trigger, hover over them to tag them, then release to fire the rockets.
It's like painting in Rez, basically.
Yeah.
So
I did go back in and try this, because I've played it twice in multiplayer, and then I went back in and played it once in single player, and now I'm used to those weapons. I really like the idea of these weapons.
And it wasn't as good because I wasn't as in sync with you as I should have been through me not being as good. But just the fact when you were doing the two-player stuff where you were like curving over each other's things and stuff like that, when we actually got that down and we were actually doing that
properly,
really
satisfying.
It was really satisfying.
That was
really good as well. Yeah,
because I played that with our friend Andrew as well, and he got a lot in tune with it much quicker than you did. So there was a point where it was a lot of explosions and stuff, and then all of a sudden we're just hitting all the same notes.
Nice,
and it looked and it felt really good. One interesting note about the two-player as well, when you're playing cooperative, you can only follow the line that is designated color to your ship, so red or blue. You can only fire at enemies that are the same color as your designated color as well. If you don't attack those enemies, they don't kill you, they'll kill your partner. Which is a nice consequence to it.
I quite like that.
And then they'll have enemies that will also switch colors as well in between, and it's a whole challenge to that. But really,
which
really
is why
good.
Coleman didn't like playing with me.
They actually.
Why do I keep getting hit?
They unveiled the game for the first time like about a month or two ago, and this is the first public display of Aero 2. And yeah, I'm really happy with it. It's got a little while to go yet, but I'm.
Did they mention a release date or a platform?
No, not yet. It's going to be a while before we get that information, but I'm going to keep my eye on that one, and I'll be grabbing another copy when that comes out. Predator Hunting Grounds?
Okay, yeah. You played that. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I just played today. You played previous. We both played humans?
I think we both played the human characters.
Okay, so four humans versus one predator. The whole premise of this is you're back in the jungle like the first Predator game. They use a lot of tracks and stuff from the movie as well, and a lot of little notes from the movie. The idea is, as the human marines, you're on a mission, you're set a mission, and then you have to go carry that out and then escape from the jungle. All the time while you're trying to complete this mission, a predator is trying to get you, which is controlled by another person. We didn't get to try out the predator, but he looks nifty. He's got all predator things. He's got the rocket launchers, the lasers, the glaive thing. He's got invisibility. He's badass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I talked to the guy who played the predator in my session, and he was talking about the fact that for him, he couldn't see who was a human and who was just one of the NPCs.
Because you get a lot of NPC bad guys to fight against as well. Okay. Yeah. That's where your mission plays off. Because I think, I'm assuming it's the same mission every time. You have to go fix a radar, essentially, and send a message out before you can escape, call a helicopter and escape. Get to the chopper. And you were telling me, Dermot, because the queues weren't long, but the wait was long. So there was a lot of people just sort of sitting down in a very small queue.
It seemed to depend on how competent the people were going in. That was it. Because the aim of the game, obviously, for the four humans is to complete the mission. And if they complete the mission, that takes some time. So you have to go to different areas. You have to hack some terminals, you have to turn on some radars, you have to do all of this crap, and then eventually call in the helicopter and go off. But for the predator is just there to kill people, obviously. And for the predator, if they kill all four, that's it, it's over. And unfortunately for us, our mission was quite short. Because unfortunately, the demo station didn't have like the voice stuff set up for us. So we couldn't really talk to each other. So we were getting attacked and we were going, oh no.
So is there no respawning in that then?
Well, there is. So the way they do it is they use the reinforcements system.
Right, yeah. Right?
But in this demo, I don't know if it's going to be the same in the game. He just mentioned the demo. You get one reinforcements.
Right.
But the reinforcements is, it'll bring back whoever's dead. So I died first in my game, and it was really cool because when you you start getting slashed at by the predator or shot or whatever, but if you're downed and then he comes up to you, you get a little brief kind of, it's made by the guys who made Friday the 13th, so
they know how to do
executions.
Yeah.
And in this one, the predator had me on the ground, stood on me, put his hand into my back and pulled out my spine with the skull attached. And it was I was just like,
Mortal Kombat finisher, basically.
You have me killed. That's fine. So the guys could have gone and gotten a reinforcement and I would have been brought back. Mm. But it's kind of a risk reward because
so it's better to have one or two more people.
You want one or two more kind of people maybe dead before you bring people back. But if you do that, you're only left with maybe one or two people to actually go and get the reinforcements.
Oh, so they've actually physically got to go and trigger it. Okay.
So you kind of want to, at the same time, you want it to go down, but not too much. So for us, I was the first to die. I think Bleezy or Michael were next. And then the other guy we were playing with. And I think it ended up with Bleezy being the only one left. So it was up to him to try and get to the reinforcements thing. But it was just him and the Predator now. And the Predator is obviously more powerful. So it was, that's just the way it ended. But I believe you got to the end of the mission.
I did. And that was the thing as well, because you were telling me if someone's a good Predator, then the game will be over quick. And I was waiting in the queue for a couple of hours overall, I think. And it just didn't seem to move very much. So there was a very long, intense game going on in there. Well, my team were all comprised of people that were waiting on their own, no big groups. So we didn't know each other. We didn't have the chat set up either. We didn't talk to each other, but we all seemed to instinctively know what to do.
Okay,
like two people would take out bad guys that were coming in and like sort of take point ahead, take point behind, while one person is doing, going to the mission point, activating whatever machine, while I kind of act as their bodyguard. And we all just kind of fell into those roles and it worked out really well. Our demo probably lasted us 10, 15 minutes because we completed the objective straight away. And it was really odd as well because we got to the end and everyone was just shooting bad guys and I didn't realize what was going on. And I went, ooh, mission point. So I activated it and it's a flare and I've set it off to call the helicopter to come get everyone. And then all the bad guys come in and I can see, while everyone's shooting the bad guys, I can see a transparent figure jumping from tree to tree. And I go, the predator's here, must shoot predator. So I'm taking little pot shots at him and stuff. And then I look around and I've realized that all the screens next to me are black because everyone's escaped. Ah. And then a thing's flashed up going, get to the chopper, you're the last person there. So I've gone, oh, bugger, shot a couple of people, legged it to the chopper and escaped and absolutely fine, got out.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, I feel really happy we got away with this. It's the second kind of one of these games that I've tried in a public space, the first one being Evolve, and I won that one as well. So I'm really happy. I'm two for two.
But do you think, and this is literally the question I was about to ask as you mentioned Evolve, do you think that the Predator license will give it more hope of actually conveying what it is to people and then having people attach themselves and get into it?
I think it should sell enough to people. I think the one thing it is avoiding in terms of the Evolve thing is in Evolve, you really do need to play as a team.
Yeah.
You really do need to play as a team because you have different roles.
Yeah.
This one, you don't have different roles. You can pick different classes, which basically just determines what weapon you have.
Right. Yeah,
but sniper, other than that, you're all just four equally competent people at equally competent things. All of them. Well, you know, depends on who you partner up with, I guess. But you can kind of play as you like. So the kind of the roles that you fell into there during your session didn't happen for us. We all went to the terminal. We all went to warrior, which obviously made it kind of easier for the predator to pick us off. So it was all sort of, it depends on how you play and all that, but that isn't, so if someone on your team in Evolve didn't play very well, then your team was kind of screwed.
Yeah.
Whereas in this one, it does feel a bit more balanced in that way.
Yeah.
And I trust the developers of Friday the 13th to nail the gameplay because they did that with Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
The only problem with that is there were bugs in this and it felt a little bit jankier.
See, I didn't have any problem with the gameplay. It was the intro sequences. It was a lot of clip, repeat. It can't happen. Like there was a lot of jankiness to the intro, but the main game performed well.
For me, the game was a bit stuttery at times, but this game isn't coming out until sometime next year.
Yeah.
So like there's loads of time for them to work on it.
Also, I think there'd be a big difference in development between having Sony as backers and being a Kickstarter project, I think it will make a big difference to the end quality of the game.
I think so too.
I think from what I played, I like the game. I might pick up the game. I don't see me sticking with it for long because once you've done a few times, it's done, you know? And if you don't have that, again, same as Evolve and same with the Friday the 13th game I found, that when you're playing with people you know, it's a fun game, you're having a laugh, and then you squad up and you get serious about it and it's cool. But once you stop doing that and you play with randoms, it becomes very boring and very frustrating a lot of the time.
I assume that's what the Predator mode is for then.
I guess so.
Because that would be, like, if you're playing on your own, although it depends on queue times and stuff like that.
Exactly. It's usually randomized, though. That's the thing.
I would hope that PlayStation pushed this, whether they do that via making it a launch PlayStation Plus game and get a lot of people in. That could really help.
Maybe even with their push on now, they put it on now and that would get a
that could do it as well. Something
before
like
they
that,
put it on Plus, possibly. But
Get it into more people's hands as soon as that will help build. Because you could end up with a Rocket League situation there.
Plus launch would be amazing.
Yeah.
DM Ed, you go for another one. We're running low on time.
Yeah, so we're going to have to speed things up.
We're going to have to quick fire around this.
No problem. I'm going to talk about Darksiders Genesis. Ooh, it was in the Resed area. And I've
liked... This is the dungeon crawler?
Yes. Yeah, right, okay. So it's completely changing its genre for this. But I still liked everything about it because it keeps the stuff that I liked from the other games. One of the things being the art style. The art style and the other games has been fantastic.
Yeah, I've always liked that, yeah.
I've also liked the story. Like, I like the interactions between the horsemen and just the regular creatures and the other stuff. In this one, it has Strife, who's the horseman we haven't played as yet. He's the one with the two guns that if you've played Darksiders 3, you know who he is.
Okay.
And you also play as War from the very first one.
Yes.
And they can both partner up. And I was playing single player, so I was able to switch between them. And they have different abilities. So Strife, obviously, two guns. He can just kind of shoot people, obviously. Whereas War is more of a melee character, but he also has this gigantic shuriken-like thing that he can fire out. So they play quite differently, but it's so much fun.
I've bounced
off of a lot of Diablo-esque sort of games before. This one always made me feel quite powerful.
Okay.
And it really made... It got to the point where there was a boss fight and the boss took up half the screen and I still felt powerful. Like the way they've done the sound design and the visuals, it really is fun to play.
Nice.
So I'm really looking forward to this. I was kind of amazed at how well it played. I don't know when it's coming out. I need to look that up, but it's coming to pretty much all of the major platforms. So I'm really looking forward to picking that up. And I like the fact that they do have the ability for split screen co-op as well.
Okay, so
I think it would be a really good local player.
Go on then, Tim.
I've gone this long and I haven't mentioned VR yet. So I was going to mention the one game that I did get play on VR this weekend, which was Iron Man VR.
I believe
you played as well.
You play that?
No.
Oh, okay.
But I still have some fears about how the game will play out a little bit. But generally, most of my fears were allayed, and I'm like, okay, no, that's cool. I quite like the basic control system. I like the way it works. You can use your hands by placing your palms straight down. That will propel you upwards. If you put your palms backwards, that propels you forwards.
Which you know how Iron Man flies when he's got his hands behind his back, but you don't do that. You just kind of put your wrists a little bit larger, and it looks... I was watching David play the other day, and it looks very dainty. It's like dainty man.
You're not doing a Naruto run behind.
But you can do the thing you see him do if he flies like at a wall and he's like, whoa, and you put your hands out in front of you. I'm doing all the actions and trying not to twat the microphone. you just put your hands out in front of you and then like put one behind. It's fun to play around with.
And because you're doing like charge shots with each hand, it kind of, and you're swipping, like switching between pulses, hands from one thing to the other, and then you're having to, like, whichever hand you're not firing with, you're having to like fire downwards so that you keep like in the air is where you are. It felt cool. Like, I really just like the feel of that.
It's a weird balancing act of your hands are your weapons and your primary mode of transport. Yeah, yeah. So it's
but it kind of worked. I worked enough to get me on board. And the one thing that it's fine when you're in motion, when you're flying around, it feels quite cool. But when they were trying to get you to go in an exact course,
and
if you missed one of those points, it was a bit awkward to then come back around.
It took me a while to realize I'm meant to be positioning my hands to turn.
Yes, yeah.
So I'm moving, but I'm aware of the PlayStation's limitations of camera movement. So I'm turning my head and trying to maneuver around, and it's not working.
Yeah.
I'm like, what am I doing wrong? And as I was getting to the end of the course, I went, oh, you've got to use your hand.
But you can actually move your head as to where you're facing, and then that kind of helps
that
a bit as well. But
really work in the way I felt it was going to.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there should be some form of hover mode to it.
Yeah, so you can just click into hover mode.
Well, when you think about it logically, he's got feet that do the same thing, and we're not using them.
Yes. This is true.
It's very strange.
It should have that. But did you also get to play the one I didn't get to play, which was Sniper Elite VR as well?
I played that today.
That was with the aim controller.
Played that with the aim controller, and the way you're meant to play this game, I mean, it is made for the aim controller, and the way you have to play with the aim controller is literally hold the aim controller in front of your face.
Yes.
Apparently a lot of people were playing it like a normal gun in front of them.
Right.
And it they thought the game was broken.
You've got to look down the sights, basically.
Yeah, you can no-scope, you know, you can go...
There's not many snipers that no-scope, though, in my experience.
Who's using no-scope? Yeah, I got to play for it twice. I played on, like, super easy mode just to start with to get my head around it, and then went back in a more advanced level. And it does all your, you know, all the satisfying sniper elite things. You can... you aim for the head, and then it will zoom in. I didn't try doing any nut shots. I didn't really think of that.
What? No, you forgot what game you were playing, Cole.
Well, they were all taking cover, so I didn't have a clear shot to testicles. But if you shoot someone in the head, and then it will zoom in, you'll see it like graphically go in and burst the eyeball and go through their brain and out the back of the skull. So it does all that stuff. You can switch it off, not because it's gross, but also, it could be because it's gross, but also I've been taking my tablets for motion sickness while I've been playing while I've been here, but the zoom in to suddenly see that is a bit jarring, so that can throw you off. Using the aim controller for sniping has now made this the most competent version of sniping in VR that I've tried so far. And I haven't tried a lot on PC, but I've tried some. And I've always found when you're using the motion controls and you have a big helmet on, quite often I go, right, I need to line up my clunk and hit myself in the face. Happens quite a lot. And yeah, but this is the best one I've seen, the best example I've seen so far.
And just something else I want to speak about that I got to go and play this morning. Okay. Again, maybe not of total interest to you guys, but the Legends of Runeterra, which is the new game announced by Riot when they announced a billion games recently.
Yeah,
but it's set in the League of Legends universe, which I'm not as familiar with, but it's a Hearthstone clone type thing, and I don't think that's too reductive to say that because it looks like exactly what they've gone for, basically. But this seems to be done really well. I enjoyed the strategy of the basic card game without knowing much about the League of Legends universe. It seemed an interesting take on that, and I quite liked what it was doing, basically.
What's that on PC at the moment?
It's on PC at the moment. I'm hopeful it will come to other platforms as not being the most PC gaming type thing, but I think it would work really well on Switch, for instance, basically. I mean, I'd like to see it, basically.
I could see a mobile port of that down the line, much like they did with Hearthstone.
Even just mobile in general, yeah. But as I said, that, you know, functionary and what it was, but I quite enjoyed that. I like my tactical card-based games, and that seemed to do really well. Helped that I won, I guess. But
just because you mentioned Sniper Elite, I just wanted to talk about Zombie Army 4 Dead War, which is Rebellion's next game. And four-player co-op, end-of-the-world kind of situation where you're thrown into a zombie apocalypse in the middle of the war.
Right. In the middle of World War II, is it?
Yeah, I think it's set in 1946.
Okay, so just
so off. It was a lot of fun. It plays exactly as you'd expect. And I just want to point out, the only thing I really need to say about this one, if you've played Sniper Elite 4, you know how it plays.
Yep.
This is a bit quicker than that because you're kind of... there's a zombie horde coming at you. It's not like a very stealthy game. You're right in the middle of it.
Yep.
But I just want to mention the shotgun.
Okay.
The shotgun in this game is outstanding.
When
you go up, like when a zombie's shambling towards you and you just aim up that shotgun just right and you get maybe three in a line and you blow them away and all three heads just explode. Yeah, I'm sold. I can't wait to play this. It's out in February next year.
Okay. One that's out very soon, and I won't mention it too much, but I just want to get a little mention in because it's a game I'm really looking forward to, and I guess it's going to be one of my games of the year this year, is Luigi's Mansion 3. And I know Dan's really looking forward to it as well. Out at the end of this month, I only played a very small amount of it because I didn't want to spoil any more of the game. The only thing I found a bit surprising, Guigi, who we've mentioned before, comes out and you press click in the analog stick, which is a bit weird. That was a bit
odd. Trying to sprint and then a Guigi appears.
Accidental Guigi.
There's
a couple of games.
Doesn't usually happen.
There's a couple of indie games that we haven't got to talk to that I'd really like to talk about in the future, but I just want to mention for today as well. Skatebird was getting a lot of buzz because it's just a bird on a skateboard. It looks awesome. Buy that game.
Just get it.
And then the other ones I was going to mention quickly, Inertial Drift was my favourite driving game the weekend. It's got a drift mechanic where you click into the drift with the right analog stick, and I really quite like that. I like the way that worked. And the other one I was going to mention was a quick one that I got to play today was Roki, which was just a really nice kind of serene beautiful snow-based kind of thing, point-and-clicky adventure type of idea, but done nicely.
You're a
done
young
well,
boy
basically.
Lost in the woods, right?
Yeah,
you have to try and find your way.
Small girl, I think, basically.
Was it a small girl?
Yeah, I believe
it
so.
It looks similar.
But yeah.
They're both wearing hats.
And one that I thought was really fun, Journey to the Savage Planet, was a basically, if you think No Man's Sky with comedy, had little creatures you could kick and kind of kick into like other creatures that would then eat them and stuff like that. It had all sorts of silly things going on. But yeah, I really like the look of that. That looked nice.
Yeah, I went back to that
fun.
Today.
Yeah, it was good
that.
Fun, isn't it? There's lots more I could mention, but those were ones I particularly wanted to do. Hopefully we'll come back and mention a few more on next week's podcast as well when we've got a bit more time
to
get into things.
We'll probably pace them out over the next few weeks to what we'd unplayed. But yeah, I've got a few I need to throw in there as well.
Yep.
Right, we are running to the end, not because we don't want to talk to you anymore, but they will literally kick us out of the building if we're not careful, and we've got a lot of equipment to pack away. So this has been your EGX special for this year. We've been at EGX. Did you know that? I didn't bring my bell. I didn't bring the bell.
You didn't bring the bell, Coleman. You're fired.
Back to London for EGX. It's nice to it's nice to be home.
Good. And we'll talk a bit more about the overall show possibly next week as well, because we didn't get a chance to do that. But yes, nice to be back in London. Does make it easier for all of us.
Shame it's the other side of London.
Shame
for me,
it's the other side of London from everyone. But
yeah. But yeah,
except
it's been good.
I can walk home.
All right. No, yeah, it's been good. It's been good to be back. I mean, as much as I do actually really like going to Birmingham, it's nice to not book the hotel, book the flat and sort all the arrangements out.
I've seen enough of the boring for
money,
a lifetime, I think. But
yeah, really, it's nice here. I might go back there. I might go there for a holiday or something. You know?
Well, I go there for tabletop.
You go there anyway. That's it.
Anyway,
you go to the NEC
anyway.
But anyway, this has been your EGX episode of Big Red Barrel UK. Thank you, DMED, for taking the time to give us a hand here.
You're most welcome.
That's all right. And Tim, I mean, you're here.
Was that a version of thank you?
No.
No?
No.
No?
No, there's no thanks
that
to
was
that.
A,
no,
thanks. You're also present.
You're also present.
Thanks for arranging.
We noted your presence.
Thanks for arranging a room in which for us to podcast in.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks for
mission
not,
accomplished.
Thanks for twatting nearly 150 quid's worth of microphone across the table.
I haven't dropped it in the river outside. That's
don't do that
an improvement
either.
On what I could have done.
Okay, so this is... what did we say? 345?
365.
365 of
like
the Big
the
Red
days
Barrel.
Of the year,
UK.
Coleman.
Okay, that's a good point. Thank you, Mr. November, and your dates. So until next week, dear listeners, I have been Coleman.
I might have been Tim.
I've definitely been Dierman.
And we will talk to you next week. And you might listen, and Dan will probably be there after he's finished celebrating his 85th birthday. Until next time, dear listeners, a goodbye.
For the podcasting goodness that you just heard,
why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.
I just burped and it went up my nose. And it burnt all the hair.
Please keep that for an outtake.
No, I won't. It's very embarrassing.